KFYO, good morning. Right now, 7:39. Randy Nagebauer is on the line. Lubbock's First News. Good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Laura. How are y'all this morning?
We're pretty good. We're trying to recoup from the Super Bowl disappointment.
What happened?
Man, my Shetland ponies got shellacked, didn't they?
Yes.
Man.
Wow.
They did not play well, and I really hate that because, you know, I think there was a lot of anticipation that that was going to be a really good game, and it got off to a terrible start and went downhill from there.
It did indeed. It was bad. Even the commercials weren't very entertaining, I thought, but...
I didn't think the commercials were that that special this year. You know, that's another reason, you know, Dan and I enjoy watching that together. She's not all that hyped up on football, but she loves those commercials. But we didn't see anything that we just said, oh, wow.
I know. Oh, well, there's always next year.
All right.
Always next year.
Let's go ahead and move our attention to the Keystone Pipeline. Little bit of dirt plowing going on there. What's up?
Well, you know, the president keeps, you know, waiting for the next study and the next study. And, you know, so the reports come out and they all say they don't see any environmental problems with the Keystone Pipeline. And but even the president's still saying, well, you know, there's still some more things to be, you know, looked at. And really the president's running out of excuses. And he's now saying that the State Department, you know, has to look at, you know, they've issued this fifth and final environmental impact statement, yet still no word from the president. So, you know, I think that's very frustrating that this is a president talks a lot about, you know, we need a lot, America needs more infrastructure, and here is a major infrastructure project that'll create a lot of jobs, and yet the president, you know, for whatever reason, is slow playing this. And so it'll be interesting to see. I know a lot of the lefties kind of don't want him to prove this because, you know, it has to do with that evil oil. He's kind of in a rock and a hard place, but we'll see how this plays out.
What I'm not understanding, though, is on one hand, just a week ago in the State of the Union address, he was saying that, you know, we're producing more oil than ever and, you know, that things have been opened up. But the thing is that's all private stuff. None of that is public sector stuff.
That's right. The drilling on public lands, you know, has not increased that much. And so basically where a lot of this production has been done is from the private sector. And despite of the administration's efforts to curb fracking and, you know, do everything they can at EPA and to limit that, the industry is doing quite well. And now for the first time in a long time, we're actually producing more oil than we're importing, which is a good thing.
Yeah, we're sitting on top of a lot of resources. We're going to take a break. Hang with us. It's 7:42. Good morning. Good morning, Lubbock's First News. 26 degrees at 7:47. Tom, Laura with Congressman Randy Nagebauer back on the line. Welcome back to the program, sir. How are you?
I am good. I'm good. It's raining here in Washington, D.C. this morning. I was wishing we could send some of that back your way.
Well, you know, what was interesting is last night, up close to where you are, where the Super Bowl was, it was actually warmer there than it was in either Denver or Seattle.
Really?
Yeah, it was just 3 or 4 degrees warmer. So now the storm's moving your way, so I guess you guys are kind of bracing for the cold.
I think there's going to be some snow later on today, so what the weather guys are saying.
Yeah, last week we were talking about House Bill 7. You wanted to go ahead and get back with Laura on some stuff.
Yeah.
She had some questions, Laura, on exceptions.
Mm-hmm. And Laura was exactly right. They combined several bills together, and Laura and I were having a discussion whether the exceptions were in the bill, and Laura was right. The exceptions are listed. Particularly in the abortion, federal government paying for abortions, with the exceptions of incest, rape, and the life of the mother. And so I wanted to acknowledge that Laura was correct on that, and I wanted to thank her for clarifying that.
No problem.
Well, I think one of the reasons why that, you know, we had been looking at that is this case in Dallas where you had the woman that was in her third trimester and she was clinically, you know, brain dead, and they were refusing life, you know, they were refusing life support to be able to be turned off because she was pregnant. You know, it's kind of subjective. It seems to me it's a little subjective the way that's implemented, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's a lot of these issues, you know, bring up, you know, really tough issues. And that was a very sad situation there. And, you know, that was, I don't know there are any winners there.
No.
You know.
That was a very sad situation. And, you know, the tests, you know, done on the fetus just showed that that little fetus didn't have much of a chance, you know, to live a normal life, and it was significantly deformed, and it was just a sad deal all around.
It was, and not a good thing for the family. That was had to be very traumatic for them.
Exactly.
All right, the discussion on immigration is heating up, and the two sides of the I guess the fence is probably never been higher. I mean, because everybody wants to solve the immigration problem, but I don't think there's really an agreement on the way that we're going to get this done at this point, is there?
No, and we the Republicans at our planning meeting last week, we discussed that at length, you know, of how to proceed from here. You know, we don't like the Senate version because it's comprehensive, and I think it has a pathway for citizenship for illegals that some people are not in favor of. And so what we've been talking about over in the House Republicans is trying to do this in a piecemeal way. And I think what keeps coming up is a couple of issues. One is the president is not enforcing the laws that are on the books today. And so by passing some new laws, do we put the president in a position of selectively, you know, well, we're going to enforce these, I'm not going to enforce these, or the other is, you know, is the border secure today? And if the border's not secure, you know, how do we, you know, move forward if we're going to continue to have this problem? So I think we'll continue to talk about that for a few weeks, but I'm not sure that anything real concrete may happen, you know, in the near future.
What laws are not being implemented that are already in place?
Well, you know, I think some people would say, Laura, that you know, we have people here in the country that are illegal today, and mm-hmm. they don't feel like the administration's taken an aggressive enough stance in, you know, finding those people and prosecuting them. The president, you know, has decided to kind of allow the DREAM Act to be put in place in the fact Congress has not passed the DREAM Act, where he's sent, I think, an executive order saying, you know, don't take any action against young people that we think were brought into this country illegally. So, and then the other piece of it is a lot of members still don't think that the border is very secure, and that we're not doing all of the things that we need to do, you know, for border enforcement and interior enforcement.
Well, certainly the movie The Arroyo that was produced here with local talent had just finished a run at the cinema at the mall. And even though that was a fictional story, it parallels real-life stories about the cartels, and basically it's just it's wide open down there. And I don't understand why in Arizona and different places where, you know, where we have these problems, why we just don't get a hold of it. I mean, we don't have any national resources that are dedicated to help these people out.
Scott, I think it's gotten worse, as you mentioned, and, you know, with the cartels are down there, they're operating. And really, we need two things to happen. We need, I think, to do a better job on our side of the border. But Tom, we also need for Mexico to, you know, take control of their country. A lot of that, you know, those cartels are operating in Mexico. The Mexican government knows they're doing that. And yet, you know, they're not taking probably as aggressive of action as we would like for them to, but that would be helpful. It doesn't do any, you know, good to sweep one side of the room and sweep all the dust to the other side of the room. We really need to clean the whole room up, and it's going to take mutual cooperation to do that.
752, good morning. If you have a question or comment for Randy Neugebauer, 770-5790. Good morning. 757, good morning. Lubbock's First News goes straight to the phone, 770-5790. Bert, you're on. Good morning.
Good morning.
You got a question for Randy?
Yes, I do. Mr. Neugebauer, I wanted to ask the question. Everybody's discussing the citizenship. What's the difference between residency and citizenship? Why can't we just let these illegals live here, pay taxes, but not have all the rights of a citizen?
Well, you know, and that's one of the issues that's being discussed. When people talk about changing their status from illegal to legal, some people immediately say, well, that's citizenship, but that might be just letting them have temporary status here or permanent resident status, but not citizenship. And quite honestly, you know, those are areas where I'm leading more than giving people that are here illegally a pathway to citizenship. But if you begin a judicial process, then, you know, they could be here on probation, for example. That could be their current status. So those are the kinds of issues that are being discussed. But, you know, I think granting them citizenship, you know, is a stretch for me.
Hey, Bert, great question. Thanks for your call, man.
Thank you.
Hey, Randy, real quick, coming up, we got National Day of Prayer. Is Ben Carson invited this year?
Well, I was wish he was. You know, the National Prayer Breakfast is this Thursday, and last year, Dr. Ben Carson there, what a treat to hear him speak. I don't know who the speaker is going to be this week, but I'd love for a repeat if it was going to be Dr. Carson, because that was a great, great speech.
What day does that happen?
It's Thursday.
Oh, Thursday.
This Thursday. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're going to be in the house for that. So
I'm going to be in the house for that, so I'm looking forward to that.
Hey, Randy, thanks for spending time with us this morning. Appreciate your call.
You bet. Y'all have a great week.
You have a fantastic week, too.